this morning, I God put a message on my heart earlier on in the week, and confirmed it really strongly yesterday that I was to bring something that he was speaking to me about, and I trust it will be a blessing to every one of you here today. And it's about having his victory in hard places. Victory in difficult times, victory in a hard place. And Jesus, when he taught, he came to actually show us what God's like. If we look at Jesus, we can actually see who the Father is, who God is. And one of the things that Jesus said about God is that he is a father. But he's not just a good father, he's a perfect father. And I know that any fathers here, all you want is the best for your kids. And it's kind of like a bit of a sign of God's love when you see an earthly father love their children. But God's love is so perfect and so good that he is the best father you could ever know and be in relationship with. And Jesus said, this Father, this Heavenly Father, he cares, he knows about what you're going through, but he also says, don't worry, because I am present to bring change. See, when we accept Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and Savior, he comes to live in us. And because he lives in us, his presence is with us always. And even in the hard times, the tough times, we can actually see huge victories because he is with us and he wants to bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth. Jesus said, when you pray, pray as it is in heaven, perfection, let it be done on earth. So it's kind of a change of perspective about how we are to see God's will for us and for everybody around us, is that he wants to bring the dominion, the rule of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. Everything that Jesus did to show us who God was, what he was really like, that's what Jesus wants to do. Now, in Exodus, if you turn with me to Exodus 13, we're going to see some insight into the heart of God for his children, for his people. And I just read this and it really impacted me about the heart of God for us. Verse 17, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was the shortest. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Don't you think that's a funny one? Right? God said here, I've delivered you out from the hand of the greatest power on earth at that time, Pharaoh. They were slaves and in bondage to Pharaoh. God, through a supernatural power, not through their own battle, but through supernatural power, set them free from out from under Pharaoh's influence. But he didn't lead them through a country where there was going to be war. Don't you think that's fascinating? Don't you think that's interesting? Anybody think that's interesting? He led them actually a different way, and it actually doesn't say that it was the shortest route. Now, this is God leading his people. 3 million, or even some people say it was even 6 million people. He didn't go the shortest route. You see, I believe the Father's heart, who cares for his people, knows very well what state we are currently in. And he knows what you can and can't do at the moment with your faith. Isn't that interesting? Just as a father knows, when I was a child, I had an older brother, And because he was older, he could go walking much further. He could climb mountains and all the rest of it. I wasn't old enough. I wanted to go, but my dad had to say, you stay at home. There will come a day when you're ready. And I know when that day will be, because I'm a good father and I assess where you're at. But God led his people not into war, but into a journey where, actually it says it was a desert road. Now then, a desert road is symbolic of, desert means there's not loads of comfort, loads of stuff available. Now, this is God leading his people. Now, I believe that when he leads us, and it looks all around as though we're in a difficult moment, God is training us to win those moments so that when we get to our promised place, the destiny of the promised land, we will know him and be overcoming those little tests in the journey so that we can win the big victories in the promised land. Because he's got huge victories for us as his people, but the steps we take are from faith to faith, from victory to victory. And so he says, I'm not going to send you through the war country because I think you'll be too much of a coward. I think you'd run back to Egypt, the very place you're in slavery. Have you ever noticed that we like to think we're a lot further on, like children, than God knows we are? Have you ever thought about that? God actually knows exactly where each one of us are at. He knows whether we're going to do a runner, because he already knows what's in us. Or if we're going to stick the journey and overcome. But I don't believe God ever leads us in any way but for us to get a victory on the journey. Amen. He's not leading us into defeat. That is never the plan of God. God is not a failure, and he would never lead you into failure. Even though you can see it's a difficult patch around you, it's not so you fail, it's that you win. When Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and began his ministry, the Spirit drove him, Mark says, led him into the wilderness, into the desert. The Spirit-filled Son of God goes into the desert. That's the first leading of God in his life. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, he's in a desert. And it's not comfortable. It's a hard place. But I believe God led him there to prove that his son is a winner. Amen. Yes. And I believe God is leading us to prove that his son in us is a winner. Yes. You're being led by God to prove the very life, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, his spirit in you, that you are a winner. To draw victory out of you. Now, we don't always have that mindset about a tough place, do we? But we can know that God loves us so much. He's a good father. And the tests along the way are to prove that he is able to bring us victory upon victory. Upon victory. I mean, what a mindset the Church of Jesus Christ should have. We should have a mindset that even though the easy route hasn't been taken by the Lord, how many of you have ever been led into an easy route by Jesus? I don't think I have ever had. All I can look back is over my history as a Christian is, well, I went from one challenge to another. Has anybody here has ever gone from one challenge to another and then thought, Lord, why did you do that? And you look back and you think, well, you made me a winner over something I was losing at. And then you made me a winner over something I was losing at. And then you made me a winner over something I was losing. And then you made me a winner. What a mindset. But I've also noticed about the goodness of our Heavenly Father is that when He leads us, it seems a long way. It wasn't the shortest cut. See, in my natural self, I think I'll take on the Philistines. It's only a few days to get through that land. I don't want to go this long journey. Has anybody ever felt like that with your discipleship? Because the Lord is into making disciples, not just people who go to church. That's the goal of Jesus for His church. To be made, shaped, changed into a disciple, a true follower of Jesus, representing Jesus in everything. It's not a shortcut. Now, I like going walking. It's one of the things I like doing on my day off. But sometimes I go with a friend, I'm walking, and that friend loves to go on a map and tell me it's not very far. And I'm okay as long as I know how far it is. I'll be okay. But if it goes a bit longer than I thought we had agreed it would go, at that point I'm going, I thought you said. Has anybody ever said that? I thought you said by this time we'd be home with a cup of tea. But oh no, there's another few miles in that journey. And my goodness me, doesn't the Lord pull out the miles? Doesn't it take a long time to reach the promised goal? We will, because He promises it. And He backs every word He says He's going to do. Every promise is yes and amen. But we're on a journey. Like the Israelites, God is leading us, not the quickest way and not the easy route, to actually show something that He is able to be our everything in the journey. Can I say that again? He is able to be our everything in the journey, in the here and now, through desert places. Jesus, when He went into the wilderness led by the Spirit, He overcame the enemy. And because He overcame the enemy personally, He brought tremendous victory to everyone He ministered to. And God wants to make you an overcomer so that you can bring the victory to many. We're not just here for ourselves, we're here for the many that God has for each of us to minister to. King David, one of the greatest leaders in the history of Israel, began life as a sheep farmer, a shepherd boy. And in the workplace, he learned to trust God when things didn't go well. I'm speaking, aren't I? Because in the workplace, how many of you ever been at work and things haven't gone well? And what did God want to do in David's life, in his faith, give him a victory in those difficult places? So when a lion or a bear stole a sheep, I'm sorry, we need to get David's attitude back in the church. When the enemy, because the enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy. Jesus will never lead you into sickness. He will never lead you into sin, because Jesus took our sicknesses and took our sins on the cross. It is not the will of God, and He will never lead you to sin or to sickness. That is not what I'm talking about, a hard place. But we need to be more and more like David in our lives and discipleship with Jesus. When the enemy came and nicked, in the form of a bear and lion, nicked a sheep, he ran after it. grabbed it from its mouth and said, "You're not having what's mine. Think of it." If I see a lion in an enclosure, I'm hoping there's lots of barriers before they can get me for dinner. Your enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But Jesus says, submit to me, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Offer some resistance. And so David went for that sheep, grabbed it out of the mouth of the lion and the bear. True story. Not a children's story, a Bible true story. And when it says they turned, the bear and the lion then turned on David, thought, right, you're stealing my sheep, I'm having you. The Lord delivered him. He called on the name of the Lord, and God delivered him from the power of a lion and a bear. So that when Goliath, this huge mean fighting machine, was standing, taunting the armies of God, this man who won victories at work as a farmer stood up and said, "Not a problem, guys. God delivered me from those things. He is going to deliver me out of this. I'm going for him." See, the journey you're on is to prove who God is. And to show that he is all powerful, almighty, and able. So whatever place you're in, God wants to change that place into victory. He leads us. He gets us ready. He loves us. But he uses the challenge, even the longer journey, to develop our faith, because it is a fight of faith. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. And faith wins the day. This is the victory, John, 1 John says, that overcomes the world. Our faith in God. That's what makes you a winner. And so the tests actually that will come, the difficult, hard places that do happen, the enemy who hates us, who attacks us, that will come against us, God says, it's okay, I've won the victory. I'm in you to bring my victory out of you so that you and the whole world around you sees that I am God. Amen. That's not a bad recipe. Is it? For victory. In 2 Corinthians, I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 to 15. Paul is in a difficult moment. I just need to back that up with what was going on. And Paul says, now thanks be to God, who always... I wonder if you think you know what always means. Does anybody know what always means? Does it mean sometimes? Does it mean maybe? Always is always. All the time. Thanks be to God who always leads. Well, if he's going to lead you, and that means you've got to be led by him. Not going your own way, okay? Hello? Anybody out there? This is all about being spirit-led, led by God. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses everywhere the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Paul was saying the difficulties I face are actually to bring about the victory, the triumph of Jesus, so that everybody around me gets to know who Jesus is. In other words, I can be a real witness in my world for who Jesus actually is. But he had to overcome a couple of things. And I believe very much that the Holy Spirit is in us so that we overcome our flesh. Paul had to overcome himself. I'm talking about real victories this morning. Not just over the enemy, not over just over your circumstances. We have to overcome our own flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul had been wronged and hurt by the church that he had planted. And he was so hurt, they were so nasty. And I reckon they were pretty nasty to him. But we find that Paul decided not to take offense, not to react to the hurt with offense. And he forgave and forgot. Say forgive and forget. Woo! That's victory over yourself, isn't it? Because we all like to actually point the finger, blame somebody else for the bad they've done, and keep reminding them of it. But Paul says, I'm forgiving, I'm forgetting. Thanks be to God, he's leading me in victory, because I will have a personal victory if I live in forgiveness and forget it. You know, someone, scripture says this, who rules their own spirit is stronger than a man who can take a city. If you can deal with your anger and not be angry and allow forgiveness and peace to come out of your heart and mouth, not just out of your mouth, but not really intending it, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, at that moment, you are stronger than a man who takes a city. And you know that, don't you? How many of you know some of the biggest battles you've ever had are with you? Your bad self. Your flesh. To deny it. To take up your cross in that moment and follow Jesus. That is a victory. Thanks be to God who always leads me. When you don't want to be generous. One of the things of the flesh is it doesn't like giving. It doesn't like serving. I want to be served. And the victories the Spirit wants to work is in you being a generous person who's always willing to serve. That is a winner. That's the victory. Thanks be to God who always leads me in triumph. But he also leads you to win over the enemy. And Paul never expected the enemy to have the upper hand. Tell somebody next to you, the enemy will never get the upper hand in the will of God for my life. I submit to God. Live my life under his authority. Resist the devil and what will happen? I'm not on the run, he is. I'm not running. I'm not turning coward. And I know that I know that I know greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. I know that Jesus has won the victory over all sin, all sickness, and all the power of the devil. My goodness me, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, people who have no trial are soft. They're cowards. Stop going to church. Stop tithing. Stop giving. They're cowards. You know, when the hard times come, ooh, I think the tithe will go first. You what? The tithe is first to God. That's an overcoming life, guys. Because you're believing and trusting God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. People who have no tests actually aren't proving that what you carry is genuine and that Jesus really is enough. Amen. And his spirit in you and his promises are enough to win. Yes, Don't you tell me the Christian life doesn't work. You can't convince me. It's worked. I have a story. You can't tell me, but you can only get a faith story because you've had a hard place story. And if you've got a hard place story, God will turn that into a faith story.
Amen.
Amen. For His glory. You knew I was going there. And so cowards run away from difficult things. But God wants us to be like David and run for. Say, no worries. Yeah. I haven't overcome that one yet, but I'm going to. Through my God, I can. Amen. Through my God, I can leap over that wall. I haven't leapt over it yet, but I'm going to. We look at wars and say, fine. So that's the next challenge. Let's go for it, Lord. What an attitude.
Yeah.
To difficult places. Talk about a winning attitude towards any issues and problems. At work, God makes you strong when the tests come. The test to bad mouth, your boss. Oh, let's grow up and stop it. I'm behaving like a parent now. Just stop it. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Only what is useful to build up and edify. Stop criticizing the church, the leaders. You can't win that way. But thanks be to God, He, the Holy Spirit, always leads us to win over those things. And to through us, actually, everybody gets the fragrance of Jesus when there's a fragrance of the stuff they throw on the fields at certain times going on. The counteraction, the more powerful smell is the smell of Jesus because it puts out the bad smells. In your office, there might be some bad smells. You know, fertilizer, that's what I'm talking about. Something spreading. We're spreading the fragrance of Jesus everywhere. At work, at home, what an opportunity to thank God He's leading you in victory. At school, if you're still at school, thank God He always leads me to win. In a tough time in your family, what you thought would happen didn't happen. The length of time it's taking to get there. Thank you, Lord, you're always leading me in triumphant procession in Christ and through me spreading everywhere. I like that, spreading everywhere. The fragrance of Jesus. I've been through some hard places like you. And I can think of one, you know, when I first went into the ministry, I went out to the States to minister. And a lady who I have to be thankful for, no, sorry Lord, who I am thankful for, opened her home, which was very generous for me to live there. And what I didn't realize, I think she wanted me close because she wanted her enemy, she saw me as an enemy, close. And I moved into this house miles away from any friends and family and didn't know anybody. And she just didn't want me there. But she wanted me there so that she could try and control me and actually tear me down every day of my life while I was there. Words and, I mean, the looks. Some of you have looks. But I think hers were better. They were awful. They were just, she would just look at me and go, despise. And I was there to teach, and I think she saw her role as being the teacher, that I was the position I was given in the church, and so she was fighting me for it. I didn't take it, I was given that position. And there wasn't any food to eat. I had to believe God for meals. It was really good for me. Guys, it was so good for me, I can see. It was a hard place. So she hated me. She only occasionally threw some food at me, but threw is the word. bat in the bed was a leg missing. So it rocked. It was like on an angle. The set of drawers were broken. And, I was just not liked. Gosh, it was good for me to go to a country where I was hated, to go to a place where I wasn't totally welcomed, to be in a place where I needed miracles for food, to be lonely. I want to talk about loneliness just for a moment. I experienced loneliness. It was a hard place. And for a few days, I have to admit, my flesh took over. I was like, thanks be to God. I can't see any victory here, Lord. It looks like what I'm in, I believe you led me here, but it's just looking bad all the way round. I could only see this was nothing but tough. And I remember getting a little bit down. Now, I'm not, since I got saved, ever given over to depression. I can't see a reason for it. There is no reason. Because Jesus is in me. I have no reason to be down. But actually, I found lots of reasons. Because they're all in my circumstances. And I'm walking along after 3 days, going like this, want to go home. It was much nicer at home, a bit like the Israelites. Let's go back to Egypt. I want to go back. This isn't good, Lord. And then you start to kind of think, this is wrong. This is all wrong. Why is she behaving like this? And you start to get a little bit, and the Lord said, I'm here. That's really short. just one thing. I'm here. I know, Lord, but I'm missing my friends. I know, but I'm here. And in that hard place, I found his joy became my joy. His peace became my peace. He provided everything I needed in a hard place. And out of my loneliness, I found friendship with God. And I'd never found friendship with God if I'd sticked to being with friends all the time. Can you see? The journey actually brought me to know him, to spend time with him, and to lean on him for everything I needed, so that actually I turned around. And in a few short days, I began to be the happiest person in the worst circumstances. Don't you think that's a victory? That is what Jesus means. Not just change of circumstances, a change in us. That we actually live by the resources that he has put within each one of us. In Exodus 15, we're going to finish with this and then we're going to pray. God wants to minister to us this morning. How are you doing? And I'm going to read from verse 22. This is after they'd come through the Red Sea. Now, I'm Andy Elms, he's coming to minister soon. He does a brilliant word about walking through the Red Sea and seeing Finding Nemo and seeing all the whales. You know, how awesome that would have been, but that's another story. But this is God's people walking through dry land, through a sea, and then the enemy's being swallowed up behind them. I think we have seen great things that day. Would you be buzzing? Would your faith be up a bit? Would your faith level go up? Yeah? So, this is straight away after that. Interesting. They were led, here we go. When Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding water. Okay, this is being led by God. Into the desert, no water. How interesting. Does God love them?
Yes.
Does God have a plan?
Yes.
Does he want to bless them?
Yes.
Did he lead them there to kill them?
No.
Although some Christians might think wrong in that situation. God's destroying my life. But no, he didn't do that. He's only a good father. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That's why the place is called Marah. So the people celebrated and said, no worries. If God be for me, who can be against me? How to live in a hard place. How not to live in a hard place, because we can see here how not to. They grumbled against Moses. Now, when you grumble against Moses, he's symbolic of the leader, the spiritual leadership. Grumbling, moaning. Moses is only doing what God said. Okay? So actually, they're complaining against God. And God sees any complaint against Moses like they're complaining against him. Interesting. Blame Moses. And what they're really saying is blame God. Because this is a godly leader. And what are we going to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed a piece of wood and he threw it into the water. And the water became fit to drink. I mean, you'd be thirsty 3 days in the desert, wouldn't you? I think they probably had a bit of water. Maybe they took some from the Red Sea, filled up their little pouches. I don't know what they carried water in those days, but I can imagine, fill them up, we're going into the desert. Right, guys, get the kids carrying bottles. Everybody get water. 2 days. Got enough for another day. Third day. Save it. Just have one mouthful, kids. That's it. We're running out. You can imagine. I mean, this is real family life. The kids are thirsty. The parents are probably sacrificing because the kids are thirsty. They're even thirstier. And after, Pastor Andrew will take a drink, and some of you will right now, just thinking about it. And suddenly, they recognize, aha, water. But as soon as they put it in their mouth, it's foul. It's bad water. And sometimes the things that we think are going to be perfect aren't. We think at last we found it, and then it's not. It's another test, isn't it? And the bitter water made them bitter. It didn't make them trust him. And the lesson, dearly beloved, that God has for each one of us in our journey is, will you trust him? Will you depend on him to bring about a miracle out of something that is bitter and make it better? Will you trust him even though the journey's going on too long for you? Know that the testing of your faith will prove that it's genuine.
Amen.
Will you trust him even though the hard places don't look like God is good? But the hard places don't define who God really is. And only the Word of God and how Jesus revealed the Father defines who God really is. We adhere to the Word above our circumstances. And I have to say, the tests I've been through, and I use myself, but I know you are in this category too. The tests I've been in, I've actually discovered something about myself. And sadly, I found I wasn't in faith at times. Has anybody been there? Or maybe I was in faith, but I needed it strengthening. Yeah? Maybe I just needed to increase my faith in that trial so that I could overcome it. And I discover myself and I find out really what's in me. Am I going to be angry, complain, moan, groan, tell everybody they're to blame? Do you know the flesh wants to blame everybody for everything? Your flesh isn't good. My flesh isn't good. Because I know it. I know my flesh is bad. How many of you know it's bad? You can say bad things, do bad things, act wrong. But I know God is good. And His goodness is in me. His Spirit is within me. And I know I can overcome my flesh. But I can also discover in that moment how much more I need God than I thought I ever did. And sometimes in the hard places, what is God doing? He's saying, I'm showing you how much you need me to be your goodness, to be your ability to be a peacemaker, to be your ability to stick the course and not run back and get out of something that isn't easy. But I also want you to know that I am in your life to be your provider. And your provision isn't going to come from the earth. Did you hear that? Your provision isn't earthly. They looked into that water source and it wasn't providing what they wanted or needed. Your provision is coming from me. And God is jealous to provide for His people. He wants you to rely on Him who supplies all your needs according to His riches in glory. So in the hard place where you can't see provision, do what Moses did. Pray. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Moses was given a piece of wood. Now, let me tell you, if you throw a piece of wood without faith into a bit of water, it's not going to change it. So we're not talking about the new thing to do is get a piece of wood. It's faith. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing by the word doesn't make sense to your mind. But when you do what God says to do, everything changes. You get a miracle. What was bitter becomes drinkable. What was a lack becomes plenty. What was badness becomes the goodness of God. The hard places. Do you see with the mind of Christ today, a spirit-led person, you'll go places you actually in the natural never would. It would take longer for you to reach where God says you're going to reach. However, in the journey, you're having time to really get to know God. You're having time to develop your faith. You've got time to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's twice. That's what the message is. It's so good. You do it twice. He says it twice. You've got time to know that depending on God is more powerful than anything the earth can do. And I believe if you're in a hard place this morning, the Lord wants to encourage your faith. I'm a good God. I know what I'm doing in your life. I am for you, not against you. And I am leading you always to triumph. I'm leading you to win it. And you're in it to win it. You're in it to win it. Say to somebody next to you, I'm in it to win it. Spirit-led people. And in that place, you know, the devil is defeated. When faith rises and you begin to act in what God says about everything, the enemy is defeated. And we begin to show who the real Jesus is. The Spirit of Jesus and the power of Jesus. God wants to draw out the character of Christ and the power of Christ. In and each, through each and every one of us. Yeah. And by him we can.
Yes.
Not by ourselves. He's just making us more dependent on him.
Amen.
And the more dependent you're on him, the more power you will see at work. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.